Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The Marikana situation was a horrible blight on South Africa's history. I'm not certain that we've ever really dealt with it. Joining us this morning is Gareth Newman. He's head of Governance, Crime and Justice Division at the Institute for Security Studies. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Good morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
Good morning to you and everybody listening.
So how do we look back? You know, often when something like this happens, I spoke to a historian once and he explained to me how we write and look at different things as we get further away from an incident or a war. There becomes very different perspectives and accounts. Now that we look back, what perspective do we have of Marikana?
Well, I think fortunately we had a commission of inquiry that looked into what happened in Marikana in a lot of detail. It was the commission under Judge Ian Farlam. And so we have a very detailed report about what happened. Subsequent to that, there's been another panel that was established by Cabinet to look even further into what happened and consider the recommendations of that commission of inquiry. There's been books written about it. So we really have a very clear understanding of what happened at Marikana. I think what's really worrying is that most people still don't seem to really understand what happened there. And a lot of the narrative around that is sort of dominating the news at the moment is very much political in nature, focusing on enemies of the current president, and very little sort of attention is being paid to actually what happened there. And the people who are responsible, people who knowingly prepared for the shooting by police of mine workers, disregarded warnings that there would be bloodshed, ordered thousands of rounds of additional ammunition, mortuary vans the night before it happened, went in there, shot 116 people, killing 34 of them on that day of the 16th of August. Those people have not been held accountable, and there's no real recognition of that at the moment. So the people who are being cleared by the commission, namely the current president, there's a move to say we're going to take that to court. There'll be no chance of that winning because of Ria Piecha, the then national commissioner, already tried to review the report of the commission, and she lost. So it's really all about now the current political situation rather than why have we not held those who were responsible for the killings of those miners responsible, accountable. And because we haven't done that, we still today see huge problems in the police, widespread police brutality, leadership at war with itself, and substantial deterioration in public safety, all rooting back to the fact that in 2012, we didn't take the correct steps to improve top management and leadership, which is found to be dishonest, deceitful, and incompetent.
Holding somebody to account so many years later, does it have the same impact? Do you think that if we held people to account today, that it would impact on police brutality today? Or does it need to be done closer to the time?
Ideally, it happens closer to the time so that you regain public trust in the police. And people believe that the government cares about its people, it cares about policing failures, and wants to make sure that this massive agency of almost 100 billion rand a year, with over currently 180,000 people, is going to act in the interest of the people of South Africa in line with the Constitution. So the quicker you take steps to hold those who control this organization, the National Commission and top leaders, accountable for such serious lapses, the better you have a chance of building public, or changing the police to make sure it's get on top of those problems and building public credibility, which the police need in order to improve public safety. In a democracy like South Africa, the police simply can't improve public safety unless there's widespread trust and support. Yeah. Even if you don't do it immediately, even if you do it now, 10 years later, 9 years later, it's very important that you do it, because then it still sends out a message to current leaders in the police who might not be doing the kind of work that they should be doing, that are not taking appropriate action to improve discipline in the police, make sure that there's no corruption, making sure that the police are properly supported, resourced at station level, all of which is failing at the moment. Still take action now today. Then sends a very clear message to those who are now in control that at some point they could be held accountable. So they better make sure that they do their best to improve policing and don't just let things carry on as normal. In the absence of accountability, you're not going to get that kind of change ever.
Have we seen an increase in police brutality, or is there just more publicity around it? Because certainly during lockdown and the last while, we have seen some horrible scenes of abuse taking place.
Well, we don't know the full extent of police brutality in South Africa because a vast majority of incidents don't get reported anywhere. But if we do look at, for example, the thousands of cases opened with the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, almost 50,000 cases in 2011-12 when Marikana took place. And if you look at the amount of money that the police have to pay out every year to victims of police brutality and unlawful behavior, as ordered by the court. In other words, there's been a civil claim lodged to the court and evidence has been presented to the court that police have acted unlawfully, causing damage to civilians, and the courts have then ordered the police to pay out money to the victims. That amount has gone up substantially, and it's standing around 2.5 billion rand the last 5 years or so. And every year it's been going up generally, except for 1 or 2 years, it dipped slightly. So every indicator you look at, whether it's a public survey from the Victims of Crime Survey, what people's approval ratings of the police are, or other surveys looking at approval ratings of the police, generally we've seen deteriorating public trust in the police, huge amounts of money being paid out because of proven civil claims against police unlawful behavior, and generally widespread fear of the police in many communities because when the police do act recently, nothing happens to them, which then discourages or continues the behavior.
And in terms of what we saw during the looting, it's not really even just about the brutality. It's about ineffectiveness, really.
Yes, I think, I mean, that's what the part of the problem happens. It's not that all police officers are brutal or acting unlawfully.
Of course not.
Many are dedicated women and men working in extremely difficult conditions, trying to improve public safety in the communities that they work. The problem is that there are far too many. And so because of this large number, even if it's not a majority, if it's a few thousand, you know, if you say, well, let's say that only 10% of police officers are not working well, then you're looking at around 20,000 police officers, pretty much, who should not be there. Those officers are severely undermining the ability of their colleagues to be good police officers because the police are seen as a uniform whole. So when people have bad experiences with the police, they then assume that all police or most police are bad. And the systems for making sure that they identify and remove those that are undermining the organization have largely collapsed. The leadership are not doing anything to fix those. And so we've seen a huge deterioration over the last 4 or 5 years in disciplinary hearings, the ability to remove or fire police officers for bad behavior. And so you really just have a situation in which the policing system is really dependent just on the goodwill of individuals at station level. We're fortunate there are many good police officers because they're doing good work under difficult circumstances, but they've been completely undermined by their colleagues who are not doing that, and there's very little attempt by the leadership to change.
Really, really scary. That is where we do have to leave it, unfortunately. Gareth Newman, Head of Governance, Crime and Justice Division at the Institute for Security Studies, the ISS, talking about the Marikana situation in terms of a police disaster.